It's 6 o'clock and time to start our meeting. Welcome all of you here for our city council meeting this evening. We are going to begin with invocation and a pledge of allegiance, and Micah has offered to do that for us.
All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight at the city council meeting. We're grateful for the city of Laverne. We're grateful for this beautiful area that we live in, for the wonderful people that we're surrounded by, and we're grateful for this nation and the freedoms that we have. We pray for those who protect it, those who protect our city. We're grateful for their service, and we pray that God would bless them and their families. We pray for rain, that in the coming months we can receive additional rain that will help sustain us through the coming year. And pray for wisdom and guidance as we discuss things this evening, that we might do what is best for the residents of the city. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda this evening is the consent agenda. If there is no discussion about the consent agenda, we'll consider a single motion.
I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second.
A motion and a second. John?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
Yes.
Scott?
Micah? Yes.
Darren?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Because there's money on there, I think in the minutes we need to specify how much the money is.
Let me remake
checks
that.
And invoices.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda, including declarations of conflict of interest, number two, the agenda, meeting minutes of March 4th, 2026 work meeting, and checks and invoices in the total of $287,391.34.
Do we have to do the vote again on Faye?
Yeah, we should.
Okay. You're seconding that again?
Yes, second.
Okay. John?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Darren?
Yes.
Okay. Next item is the business discussion regarding the 20-foot access easement at the Olson subdivision. The decision was to not to table it now, but to wait until put it on the agenda next time for.
For those in the audience who didn't attend the
work meeting,
essentially what's happened is we've had a meeting to discuss various aspects of this matter, and what we decided to do. Mr. Snow represents applicant Alan Olson in this matter.
No, Mrs. Fish is right.
Oh, yeah, Mrs. Fish, oh, sorry. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, Teresa Fish. And we kind of, he suggested that rather than have the city proceed to the point where they make a determination on this matter after he files the application for flat amendments, then we just have to place it on hold, and then he would then file legal action in the district court, naming both the city as a party and the other, and Mr. Olson as a party, to quiet title into the property and some other things. In that situation, the city really wouldn't be necessarily adversarial. We'd be there, and our role, our position would be that the city would agree to let the court determine what the rights are of the respective parties, and we'd agree to be bound by that. So we would put any application for consideration of any plat on hold while that happens, and then we go from So I think what we're doing here tonight, now on this item now, since we can't make any decisions there, is we need a motion to table the matter.
Okay.
Did you file the application?
Yeah.
So he's filed the application. Table it.
Till next meeting, and then they'll table it.
Yeah, till next meeting. Till next meeting, I'll give him time to file whatever he wants to file with district court. And then once he does that, we'll just simply table it again until the district court matters concluded.
Okay. Do we have a motion to table then?
May I have a motion to table item one?
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right. Next item on the agenda is consideration of possible action to approve Proclamation 2026-01, a proclamation declaring April Child Abuse Prevention Month. Do we have any discussion with this item?
Mayor, that was just a proclamation that was sent to you, which you forwarded on to me, and I gave it to Faye, and he formatted it.
Okay. Any questions or discussion from the council?
It's something we do each year, essentially.
Yeah.
I think the subject is near and dear to my heart. I worked almost 10 years in child abuse and neglect, and CPS in Las Vegas. I've seen the gamut of everything when it comes to child abuse. So I absolutely think we need more
attention to it.
Yeah, more attention to it. I'm absolutely for this.
Any other comments? Entertain a motion then.
I'll make a motion to approve Proclamation 2026-01, a proclamation declaring April Child Abuse Prevention Month.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No opposed. Okay. Next item is consideration and possible action to approve Proclamation 2026-02. A proclamation declaring April 24th, 2026, Arbor Day. This is another proclamation we do every year.
They do it, and it helps us maintain our Tree City USA status, along with fourth grade foresters, which we do a program every year with fourth grade class, planting that tree. I think we're planning on planting one right out here in front of this building.
Any discussion? There's no discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'll make a motion to approve Proclamation number 2026-02, a proclamation declaring April 24th, 2026, Arbor Day.
Okay, do we have a second?
All second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
No opposed, okay. Next item is discussion regarding vacation of a portion of Judy Avenue for Mike Vineski. We'll have Faye and Derek address this to the council, if you will, and
okay,
give us a history and all of that.
Explain where we've been and where we are now. Several months ago, before the new council members came on, Mr. Vineski came to city council meeting. Well, first of all, Mr. Vineski owns, he lives at 385 North
State Street.
You got the map there, don't you?
There's a 50-foot strip between his buildings and the SR9 right-of-way that runs past all his property there and all those lots there. He came to the city and he claimed that he had had conversations with past city council members and past city council people who promised that they would sell that 50-foot strip along SR9 to him. And he came to council, was adamant that we do so. We checked into it. We could never find any real record of anybody saying that they had promised to sell him anything. But in the spirit of compromise, what the city agreed to do was to sell him not the 50-foot strip, but a 20-foot strip that ran past his property. So we went through the process of declaring that surplus property, passed a resolution to that effect, authorizing the city then to sell that to Mr. Van Esky for the sum of roughly $10,000. We drafted and followed paperwork, prepared a quick claim deed resolution, took it all down to the recorder's office, where we were subsequently surprised to learn that the city did not own the property. It was actually part of a subdivision that was filed back in the 1960s sometime, I'm not sure exactly when, was part of the part of the Stoll subdivision. And that portion runs, the 50-foot portion that runs past his lots up there and along the top of the other lots, that's something called Judy Avenue, public street, dedicated to the use and benefit of the public. So we went to Mr. Van Esky and we said to him, look, you know, we can't record this. The county recorder won't accept it. This is a public street. And so we were going to return him the money. He kind of refused to accept it, and even more recently has become a little bit more insistent that not only we sell him 20 foot, we're going to sell him the whole 50 feet again, which would necessitate our going through the process of vacating a public street, just like we talked about earlier, which would mean that he would have to file a petition. So we'd have to have a public hearing. We'd have to make a determination that good cause existed for vacating that city street, and also we'd have to make a finding that that vacation neither harmed neither the public or any individual before we could declare that to be vacated. And then we'd take an ordinance, file it with the county recorder's office. And then by operation of law, that portion of Judy Avenue running past his lot would automatically vest in him without payment to the city. So we kind of informed him that's what we were going to do, but that's when he kind of got a little excited with Derek, said he wanted the whole 50 feet, and da-da-da-da-da. So we're putting it on the council agenda tonight, just to let you know that if we want to proceed with that, then we need to proceed with it as a street vacation. We need to get a petition, set a public hearing, make those two findings, pass an ordinance, and then record that ordinance at the recorder's office. For, I think the city's recommendation would be just the 20 feet that we originally agreed to give it. So,
and the reason being is that we wanted to keep it as an access street, a street that eventually could lead to the market, so that people coming from that side, that subdivision, and others on the other side of the Stoll subdivision could access to, eventually, when this other property develops, have them continue that street on. So it would go into the market, then people don't have to go into SR9 to get there, make a left-hand turn, which is taking your life in your hands to do that. And we need more stoplights. But anyway.
Does Judy Avenue end right there?
At the property.
At the property, yeah.
It goes all the way to the old post office or the Mexican restaurant. Mm-hmm.
But as of now, it is a public street.
Yeah, it's
dedicated a public street.
And that road goes right to his front door. So eventually has no.
So his interest is for parking.
Yeah, which people called and said they wanted to buy it and raised the concern about the parking. So there is no parking. Doing this gives him an option to be able to sell and provide the parking element to it. Still leaves us 30 feet to.
He still has access to his property from the other side of the house, right?
Correct. 300 North Avenue. So I think we just. We know that he wants it. Do we still have to make him formally request it again?
Well, my only concern about that is if we at least go through the whole process, then he can say, I don't want it. If we don't have him file a petition as an indication that he would like us to go through that process and would be willing to accept it, then we could go through the whole process, hold the public hearing, do all of that, and he might say...
But essentially, if he could understand it's a chance for him to get the 20 he was willing to pay, $10,000 for, he'll now get it without having to pay for it.
Correct.
It
That's right.
Double wins. And then, but I would suggest we only give him the 20. We need to maintain that.
I think that's the recommendation from staff.
Yeah.
Is that we just stay with the 20 feet that we originally agreed to get in the surplus property when we thought we owned it.
And that way, if we have him come in, if he's expecting the full 50, we need to have him come in and say, otherwise, we might be.
Now, it will be set for a public hearing, so I suppose he could come to the public hearing at that point. He could say, well, I'm not going to take 20 feet.
And if he does,
and then if he does, then we don't proceed with the ordinance.
So, but there is some cost to him for what?
We would still charge him the administrative fees.
Okay.
To cover city sign into it. It would just be the money we charge him for the actual property.
And the surveying has already been done, is that correct?
Surveying's already done. The second survey is done by the city.
Okay.
We did the survey, and we came up with the exhibit for the vacation.
And he paid for that, didn't he?
No, he did. He paid for the first one back, as far back as he was stating, but he paid for the original one back years ago. We wanted an updated one to get the right number to charge it per square foot of the property. So
okay.
We paid for that.
Do you feel that... We could run into issues down the road with only 30 feet, with 50 feet.
I mean, 50 feet's your average road, right? So 30 feet is going to be more than adequate for cars to pass each other. I think the state highway separation between 10 and 12 feet.
But I'm thinking about those planters and stuff on.
Well, the planters, though, that doesn't affect him. He doesn't have a planter on it.
No, I know that, but.
We have 50 feet all the way down going north or south.
Yeah.
It'll just be that little reduction there. I don't think it's going to hurt us because 30 feet is more than enough for cars to pass for frontage. It's like Maverick and Dollar Shore. They have that same, that's recorded
shared access.
Shared access, yeah. And you know, it's kind of a good thing for both. You know, we have a property availability to give to him. So he can sell, and we still maintain enough to get the traffic flow through as we want. So it's kind of a win for both people. My worry is trying to have him fill out a petition. He might be, I don't know, I just worry how to go about that because he may be pretty tied up in his mind about not seeing that as getting him to where he wants to be. So I can see him not wanting to do it, which thus we get it, we can't start the process. So it's kind of like that dog chasing his tail.
Well, his petition doesn't necessarily need to recite the fact that he is asking for 20 feet. He can just simply say, I request that you vacate that 50 feet. And then the council, after public hearing, talking about it, we could then make the determination, well, we need 30 of that, so we're going to just give you 20.
We'd end up making the same determination we did before, only because we didn't know it was a private road.
Yeah.
We could. We just have to go through the process to do the same thing we were going to do before.
Yeah. Would he be able to at that time say, I don't know, I want all 50 or.
He could, if he could say, if you're not going to give me 50, I don't want any of it.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah, and if he says that,
then we just don't
okay,
do it.
We won't do it.
I just wonder if getting it in his mind from the beginning that it's 20 feet, that's going to make the public hearing and all of it go better. But I think I think we should shoot for that first, because then we're on the same page. Otherwise, like what we saw tonight, I think that's going to be amplified.
He's going to want more than 3 minutes.
Yeah, we're getting 5 tonight.
Well, we could.
We weren't even in a meeting.
Kyle, county chief, the county tech chief, but send Kyle Lovelady and chief over and let them, try to get that through his head.
Well, I think if we could get him to understand that
he's not going to get more.
The 20 is what we agreed to before, and he was willing to pay 10,000 for it, and now we're still agreeing to the 20, but it's a lot less.
And he's going to get most of his money back. Mm-hmm. He should be happy.
I love the volunteers.
You volunteered,
especially Jason.
Okay, so we don't need a motion or anything, do we, Faye, for this?
No.
It's pretty much a discussion item. So it sounds like that's what the council is in favor of. Offer that to him, and
we're willing to do it before.
Yeah,
I think it's the right thing to do, especially where.
I would think so too.
Feels like more has been promised. But
are you okay with that, John? Amanda,
yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that brings us to council reports. I don't have really anything to report as a mayor, so. Let's start with Faye.
With me?
Mm-hmm.
We received a request from the Water Conservancy District that we approved. In fact, I think we've talked about it here before. It's the Ultra Water Efficiency Standards. The whole idea behind this is that if we adopt the city box developers to come in, if they meet these ultra efficient standards, they can get a break on impact fees. To do that, we have to pass a resolution and some other things. So they're encouraging each of the cities to do that. It's strictly voluntary kind of thing, but it may be a good thing for us to consider. The only reason why it's not on the agenda tonight for some sort of action is because the Water District is looking at ways to implement that, but the resolution that's being considered to adopt it doesn't include implementation. So we're trying to figure that out so that we can include that as part of the resolution. And as soon as we get that, then we'll put it on the agenda and you can talk about it and decide what you want to do. I talked to
Jody? Was it Jody?
No, it wasn't Jody. It was one of the other attorneys there. And they said so far, none of the municipalities have adopted it yet for that very reason. We know they don't have to.
Was it Morgan?
It wasn't Morgan. And it wasn't Jody Richens.
I thought they said in the last meeting that I went to that Ivins and one other city had adopted it. But
they're considering it.
Oh, okay.
It was on their agenda at one point, like it's been on ours, but they haven't really adopted anything yet.
Okay.
And there's no real rush to it.
Okay.
So we wanted to make sure that we had everything in the resolution that needed to be there before we adopted it.
And each of you have a copy of the Ultra Water Efficiency Standards, so you can.
In part of the concern with some of the cities is, are there going to be some cities who adopt it and others not, and then the others get more water, just based on, they'll get less connections, I guess, but that's some of the concerns of it's going through like hurricane and stuff, because it needs to be universally good for everybody in the pulling agreement.
I think part of the discussion they had, too, is that they would really like to see it where it's like a particular subdivision that would adopt it, not just individual homes.
Yeah.
That'd make it a kind of a nightmare to administer as a city, because some are going to be under certain restrictions, which others are not. So
the policing of it is going to be on the city. That's going to be difficult. Someone does it. The advantage to the home builder is they get that and they get a reduction on their impact fee from the Water Conservancy District, and then concern is 5 years later, someone buys the house and tears up all the desert landscaping in the backyard and puts in grass. And you can police it by, they're going to pay extra for their water usage. 26 for one thing, and that's how you police it. But as the burden does get shifted to the city staff. But
yeah.
It's easy to figure out who's got grass in the backyard when their water bill, especially if it happens up on top of the hill, because there's not going to be access to secondary water. Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll just wait until we get a little more direction on that. Okay.
I'll check periodically with the water district to see what the status is.
Anything else? John?
The Southwest Mosquito Abatement Committee hasn't met recently. I think we have one coming up next month. And the legislature is kind of going away for the time, so I may come up with a final report that I'll be willing to share with council about what happened and what didn't happen. And there was one more issue on the Planning Commission. An item came up that was kind of out of place. It was something about the zoning change. The commission was kind of surprised that it came up and nobody knew about it. And then it was said that the council had requested it. And of course, I was unaware of it because, you know, I didn't know the council had requested them to look at that particular item. I did send something to the council about, just generally about the rules for the conducting meetings and stuff. It's not the first time I sent that, and of course the agenda of issues still kind of concern me, how they're brought forward and that kind of stuff. So maybe at some point we could discuss some of those items.
Okay. Amanda?
The Solid Waste District meets next month, and that's about it. I think I know the county fair is coming up, which is pretty exciting since Lumberton's going to be the city, but I'm excited to see what they have going on with that for the historical preservation. So, or separate things, but still it's the history of Lumberton. So, that's about it.
Okay, thank you. Scott, you just came from a wonderful meeting.
What I learned about Hurricane Valley Fire, they like to talk. That was a lot of fun to experience. But the thing that stands out the most in relationship with the city of Lumberton is we approved the purchase of two about $1.25 million engines to be bought. One of those is to replace the nearly 20-year-old engine that is here in Lumberton. The fire district is committed to being able to have the right equipment for folks to be able to keep them safe and to be able to protect the citizens within the district. Also, they're building several, they have plans to be able to build several more fire stations to be able to have good coverage for the expanding area that they seem to be able to cover. They talked about a 15% volume increase over last year, which was 12% over the year before, which was 27% over the year before that. So, I mean, obviously we live in an area of a lot of growth and a lot of opportunities for issues, and the call volumes seem to be going up, and these guys do a good job of taking care of it, I think. So.
They cover a big area, too.
Man, it's growing fast, all the way up to Springdale, Virgin, and you know, down here in the Hurricane, out to Hurricane, the ever-expanding stuff that's going out there. Leeds is exploding with growth. Having a way to cover all that's a big deal for them.
Did they talk anything about reducing that property tax that they promised?
Nope. Not one little thing. Seems like spending a lot of money. I doubt that they're going to want to be able to reduce everything.
Maybe you could bring that up as a board member.
When is the sales tax?
I think next year.
Next year.
Yeah. I think he was here last week and talked about it kicking in.
Yeah,
they have to start collecting the money on that. I don't think you.
I thought they got part of the year on that. But it seems like he said that it would start. We get maybe 6 months of it this coming year or whatever. I don't know.
Pretty hard for taxes to go away. They get used to getting that money. It's going to be hard for them to give it back.
Well, that was some of the things they promised.
Yeah, I know.
Micah?
So, Chief, we hired a new officer on Monday.
Yes.
Gino Perez, is he Alba Espanol? I know we were hoping for that.
Yeah, he speaks Spanish. He was a reserve officer for us for 9 months, and he spent the last 2 years and 3 months up in Cedar City PD. So he was happy to see that we had an opening.
That's great. Where he's been a reserve, then he's familiar with the
yes.
department. And, okay. Well, we're glad to have him. And then just, this was mentioned, you know, we have the fair coming up. You know, probably May 10th, which is the ribbon cutting. If you were going to attend as a council member, that would be, they're going to have some, what's that? Oh, what did I say?
May.
Okay, yeah, April. April 10th. They'll have some musical, some performers from Laverkan, the residents from Laverkan, the Grand Marshals. Might be a good time to wear the shirts we have on, you know, if you're able to make it to that. And that's at 3:30 p.m. on April the 10th.
What day is that?
It's a
Friday.
Yeah. I believe.
And that's at the main stage, so big tent and food court area just past the main entrance.
That's purgatory.
Mm-hmm. So 3:30 on the tent.
Is that, how's that as far as the council? John, are you able to?
I can try to get over there.
Amanda, what do you think?
I shall see if I'm able to get away.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll try.
It's got an important day for a lot of you, so.
There's a way to get out of work, I'm all for it.
Okay. So, Mike,
yeah, I think I can be there.
And Darren?
Yeah, I'll be there.
I think that would be good if we had all of the council we could
those that can make
be
it.
There just since
are you buying funnel cakes for us?
They're what?
You paying for the funnel cakes?
Of course.
All right.
He's got a card.
We can use Kyle's card. He's
so, and then, you know, we had the youth city council come a couple of months ago speak to us. You know, it's that time of year coming up in May when they're going to get a new youth city council for the coming year. There's a flyer that I'll forward to you guys in case anyone's interested in that. But there's going to be a junior youth council as well. So sixth to eighth grade, mm-hmm. Mary?
Yeah.
So it's a way that they can get introduced to it, and anyway, so that's expanding a little bit, and it was great to have them here a few months ago.
Yeah, it's good.
They can do a lot, so that's coming up in May.
Okay. Thanks, Derek.
I went to DTEC. They talked a lot on legislative issues about they don't call it a tax. Utility fee. They spent a lot of time on that. That would only be able to be used if the current method of getting money for your issues in your city weren't being met. So they spent some time on that. And then the rest of the meeting was spent discussing the. They're looking to do a kind of put a priority on their route from basically right there at the. On Highway 9 where it goes into Purgatory, they want to they're going to redo that little turn right there that goes out to the jail. They're probably going to make that a roundabout.
Oh, that's a mistake.
They're definitely going to adjust it some way.
That's is that kind of traffic a roundabout?
No, it's stay around 9, right?
No.
There wouldn't be around 9.
When you go in and then you turn,
once you're inside.
When you turn to the big roundabout.
I think he's SR9. I'm thinking, holy cow.
But that's not for sure. That's just what they're shooting for.
That's you'd need an ambulance there.
And then
all the time.
All the trucks that are hauling equipment out of Wheeling are gonna have to go around the roundabout.
Yeah.
That would be
that's
fun.
That's fun.
They're gonna enjoy that.
Okay. Well, it'd be nice for them because they could just turn right on the way out.
They also haul things in.
Yeah.
And then the priority is to take that road on past the dump all the way out, build a new bridge where they can access Highway 7, straight from that road. And the poor subdivision in Washington, when you go south from the dump, is just getting hammered with trucks. And they would love Washington would love to see that road. But it's to the tune of about 40 million. So we have about a million saved towards it. So
they also said it's going to be 15 to 20 years before they get all the clearances done with all the involved people and the environmental people.
So it might be a while. We also had America 250 committee meeting this week. They wanted to point out that any activities we're doing as a city for America 250, there's a county calendar that tells us that Washington County wants to put that on. And then, they really obviously want us to focus on the America 250 in our city. Anything that we do is put on the calendar. And the citizens, if they want to see other things, there's some great America 250 things. Santa Clara's a fantastic job. So if you want to see what's going on all around the county this year, you can get on that.
Yeah, I actually drove through Santa Clara last week. They have some pretty flags up.
Yeah.
The American 250 is pretty nice.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Okay, thank you.
I know a few of the other cities are putting up big banners and stuff. So I think Virgin's going to put up a big American 250 banner. So I don't know if Patty wants us to get a big banner. That's all I have.
All right, thank you. Next item on the agenda is citizen comments. For
before you go,
what's that?
I've got a couple of things I need
to oh, sorry, I forgot you.
This is the third week in a row. Huh? Decided I better speak up.
Yeah.
What I just wanted to bring up is we had some vandalism that happened at the power plant park. The little sensors that we just put on the doors. A couple of juvenile kids went out and took some rocks and bashed them in. We were a little too quick to get them fixed, and we got them fixed, and the same kids went back out and got them in. Cost us the first time over $1,000, I think, and the second time we probably haven't fixed them yet, but we've identified the young kids, and the chief was just kind of wanting to know to what extent you want to pursue this. They're under 12 years old.
Work hours.
Could we get them to
a lot of them
volunteer with Winterfest and some of the other things?
We're going to be into it for $2,500. And one of the concerns I had is one of the boys didn't show a whole lot of remorse for when the chief was talking to him, and that's concerning. And I understand that these. I know these boys, and they're kind of in a little bit of a rough situation, but I think we'd be doing a disservice if there's not something done. Otherwise, it could turn into something more that they won't just get their hands slapped and sent away. And I think, without saying too much, they're adopted by grandparents. In fact, one's a great grandparent. So, anyway, there's
hard labor.
Yeah.
Make them sit through city council meetings.
Right.
But I think that's why I'm not. There needs to be something done. And I mean, it's $2,000 or $3,000 to the city. And if something's not done, then I mean, they've already been trespassed by not going to the parks. But what is the next step, Chief?
So we had some other kids 2 years ago at the wellness parks who were redoing those bathrooms where they broke into skylights, damaged the interiors. And so we worked with Derek, and then Derek coordinated with Clay. And Clay was kind of like their supervisor doing hard labor of sweeping gutters, weeds, those kind of things. And I know, I have to give a shout out to Meredy, because when this all occurred, we can't post things of children, right? Just like random. So when I found out that they did it the second time, everybody was on spring break. So I sent a picture, Mary recognized one kid, and then we went from there. So it was a good city effort to get it rounded up. But yes, I know that some kids have problems. But I was hoping that that's what we could do, like talk with our juvenile prosecutor and kind of work something into there. But then that would be on kind of Clay and Derek's team to kind of facilitate those hours and things.
And that adds, anytime you got one of the staff members that's babysitting a kid, they don't get a whole lot done because they're getting 12-year-old work out of a 12-year-old.
I know both of them pretty well. I can take them and have them work. I just think it's a lot of money, and maybe the parents need.
There needs to be some money
guardians
reclaimed by the city at some point, I think.
Understand the supervision part, their responsibility in it. I think the kids should have stuff, but you know what I'm saying. But I'm happy to take that because I'm on salary. It wouldn't be the same as Derek.
But still, that taking them and doing work hours is not going to compensate for the $2,500 or $3,000. I don't know if there's even a capability of the parents to come up with that, with the guardians. So I guess my point is, what do you want the chief to do?
I mean, we can do a couple things. We could ask the court to seek restitution, right? And then have whoever is responsible for them, their guardians, will then be responsible for that, work out whatever payment plan, long-term, you know, the city comes up with is what we're out of pocket on, not necessarily hourly things, but actually on physical property that's broken. That'd probably be the bigger thing to go after. And then, but then they could also do that and do a partial thing and then create those hours that then either Merity would want to supervise so that they're out working and, like, being part of our city in the capacity where they're doing something healthy and with their hands and not destroying things that they don't know what they do.
And I don't know to what extent you can, whether they're under 12 years old. But I bring them in here and I apologize to you, too.
When I was that age and did something like that,
I've been through that, too.
It wasn't a happy time. No. And I paid for it, so I think they need to be held accountable. If they don't learn when they're young, then they'll be a lot worse when they get older.
So that's the question. Do you want to do like half and half kind of thing, or do you want to just do full criminal portion, let the justice system deal with it on that side?
I personally think the half and half. I know how the justice system works, especially for juveniles, and it's more often than not the parents doing more because they're the ones transporting the kid to and from everywhere, and the kid kind of gets off a little easy sometimes. So I'm like the half and half, but half and fine hard labor.
What if we considered it, you know, certainly come in and you have to tell Kelly that you're sorry, and you might get a spanking for the first time, but really, the second time, I mean, the second time within a couple of weeks, that's the part that, as far as the money thing.
So just to clarify, what took place is our two suspects went to the park and they picked up some lava rocks and they damaged it. Mary was cleaning, found the destruction. But on that day when that was happening, neighbors came that were working on a house right there next to the park, came over, kind of scared the kids away. The kids ran, and an officer showed up on scene. We grabbed information, right? Let's say this happened on, like, a Thursday. Well, then Friday comes, we haven't found them, and now school's out, spring break, okay? They come back on a Wednesday, and the same thing happens. The same kids are there, but only one kid does destruction again. The other kid kind of looks and goes, that wasn't cool the first time, and kind of scatters off. But another kid stays there and does damage. So I would say one kid is responsible for two-thirds of the damage that was done on these sensors.
And he's the one that showed little to no remorse.
Yeah.
Well, that's the one with autism that she was saying that's why. Developmental issue, but.
And you know, I understand, but I wonder if that might be a crutch too. Sorry, I said that out loud.
I mean, if you, my opinion is I like doing half and half thing because, like last time we got work with Clay and we got to see those kids, then in the future we never had an issue with those kids, and then they ended up asking if they could go play in the park again. I don't want to deny children the ability to go play in the park for the rest of their adult life. And now with our cameras, you can literally click on their face and they have facial recognition. And every time they go there, it'll pop on our screen and go, in the park, in the park, you know. So we can do, I like the working part of it if you guys are okay with the half work, half pay, and then we, I don't want to ban children.
What do you think, John?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Are you okay with that? You okay with that?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
We're good with that one.
Mary, you're in charge.
Can you imagine?
Sorry, West Mosquito will make them too. There'll be a deal. It'll go out in the newsletter, and they'll also be on social media about mosquito bites and all that stuff. Got the Easter egg hunt, and then on April 23rd, we have fourth grade foresters. May will be ready. I think they had you speak to that.
Darren, I think Darren did that last week. Last year, didn't you?
Yeah, but you go ahead. Hear from the boss.
That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. The last item on the agenda then is citizen comment. This is for requests for future agenda items, and no action will be taken on this. And it's for items that are not on the agenda tonight. So if there's any in this group that would like to make a comment to the city council, you're welcome to come up. 3 minutes. Come to the mic.
My name is Toby Jarrett. I live at 545 North 120 West, and I bought my property in 2019. And over that time, I've noticed basically a lot of sinkage on the road. The gutters and stuff are sinking down. And I had a little visit with Derek about certain things just to see, you know, what appropriate actions would be addressed. And I realized the city is growing, and there's a lot of other areas that would be more intimate. So this, you know, 120 West, I guess, is the street itself. But anyway, I'm just wondering if somebody could kind of come maybe evaluate certain areas that are like little pockets in the curb in front of several homes. And on my property, I'm finding that there's some sinkholes. So my house is making some popping sounds. So I don't know if that has anything to do with like the last rainstorm that we just had. A lot of rain came down, and it flooded up a nice big pool in the gutter. So it's going somewhere. And anyway, I'm sure other neighbors are concerned. I just thought I'd kick that around and see if somebody can get back with me and say, we'll do what we can.
Okay.
That's
okay.
But thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. And we'll get with Derek and his crews. And
that was the certain gutter project Kyle brought up that we wanted to do.
That's what I wanted
to do on the irrigation.
Okay.
That was his road.
It's on that upper road?
Yeah, just down from LB Square.
Right.
Yeah, right there. That was $151,000 that we talked about.
Okay.
Why they were already there. We could do that with the project.
Okay. Yeah, just for your information, that there will be a new irrigation line coming down that street. And so that is on the, an item that we want to replace the curb and gutter along through there. So we are looking at it. It probably won't happen until probably
November.
At least November, yeah. But it is an item the city's been looking at. Okay. There's not any other comments? Patty? 3 minutes.
So I attended the Planning Commission last week, and there was a public hearing to remove duplexes from the R10 zone, 16,000 acre foot lots. There have been no, to my knowledge, there have been no prior discussion about it, and I thought, well, I guess I wasn't staying up on planning commission things. So anyway, I just gave my opinion during the public hearing, and then as it turned out, the planning commission had never discussed it. They said openly, we never discussed it. We don't know why it's on our agenda. And they were told that the council put it on the agenda. So this is something that I think needs to be remedied. Mayor, you, of course, in your position, have full right to put items on the planning commission agenda. But for the general public in a public hearing to be told that the council recommended that this be discussed, the council, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, need to have discussed it and requested. If it's not all six of you or the quorum, then it needs to be said the mayor and one council member. And then I question whether it should be on the planning commission at this point at all. The reason why is, you know, that when I was on council for 8 years, I went to all of the planning commission meetings to report for city council. So I'm very well aware of the amount of work they do on zoning issues, the depth that they have to go to, the what ifs. They're endless, but they do a good job. So to have this random item that is seemingly like, why is this having a public hearing without any discussion whatsoever by the planning commission or the city council? Everybody in that room, and there were six people in the audience, it rubbed everybody the wrong way. It's like, well, what's going on here? Including myself, why would this be here? So one request real quick, if this does come back on, that public hearing cannot count as a public hearing because the planning commission had no clue, they never studied it before. Why take duplexes for trying to get affordable housing? Why take them out of the building? It was like, where did this fall from? And Mayor, I guess I'm kind of pointing this question to you, not that I need an answer now or anything, but so I'd like, if the council is going to put things on the planning commission agenda, let it be the council, legally the council, or let it be the mayor. But don't, and I know that when I covered it, things would come through and it said city council. Debbie, you were there. Can I let you see your 3 minutes to me? So just let's tighten things up. With the top side happening and the amount of work that the planning commission, and we have a good planning commission, the people in place right now are really good. So rather than shortchange them the quality of their work by putting things like this on, let them do their work. Mayor, you work with them as you see fit for your reasons, etc. But don't say the council recommended this. Don't put a resolution in front of them saying the council, because not all of you did. When I was covering, things would come through and it's like, I did not speak to them. So I think we need to clear up our language. I think with all of the building that we have coming on the top side and everything else, we need to make so much more effort to be transparent. We owe it to our citizens, and I'm one of them. So, thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Anybody else? No? Okay. We stand adjourned.
Oh, rush off. Good day. Let's have Mayor and Amanda and Scott stay sitting in your seat.